This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Emma Jane Wilson surpassed Hall of Fame jockey Julie Crone for the all-time purse earnings by a female jockey recently at Woodbine Racetrack in Ontario, entering the day just 11,000 shy of Crone's $90 million record. Wilson took her place in racing's history book with a thrilling victory aboard first-time starter Perfect Lady B for Hall of Fame connections of trainer Roger Atfield and owner Charles Hipke to surpass Crone's mark.
Perfect Lady B stretching the neck out is whittling down the margin. Perfect Lady B trying to get home here on the outside and is going to get up, I think. Perfect Lady B, Emma Jane has got that record. What a win for Charles Hipke, Roger Atfield, and how appropriate, Emma Jane, the greatest earnings for a female jockey on their runner, Perfect Lady B.
And joining us on Sports Jam is the record-breaking jockey, Emma Jane Wilson. Emma, great to see you.
It's good to see you too, Doug. Thank you.
I heard you scream when I watched the video of the race at Woodbine when it was over. Not only did you win the race, but of course you broke Julie Crone's purse record. So what did that scream mean? Where did that come from?
You know, I've been riding for a very long time, and one of the things that I think is important is from each race to the next, you know, you get the focused Emma Wilson, you know, ready to win your next race, win, lose, or draw the race previous. So I have a tendency to take, you know, emotions, good, bad, or otherwise, and just, you know, put them in a box for later. But that scream there, that was a moment of pure joy, pure elation, you know, to be able to succeed and to have done it in such a fashion. It meant a lot.
Obviously, it meant a lot to do it at Woodbine, too. And they just had a ceremony for you this past weekend for the record-breaking performance. You knew going in that even if you finished third, you were going to break the purse record. And as you said, you put your emotions in check. So I guess it was a time to really let it all out, right? Because so much work. And Julie Crone has been in your corner or in your stable supporting you for a long time, right?
Yeah, she has. She's been, you know, always there in the background. And when she caught wind that the record was in my grasp, you know, this spring, I was repetitively getting messages of support. Are you there yet? You know, a little bit of push and confidence. So, you know, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Come on, let's go. So, you know, it was, it meant a lot to me to hear from Julie in that way as well. So.
How about Woodbine? It is special to you, and winning it there had to be even more spectacular.
Yeah. Woodbine is really where my dream started to be a jockey. And it's where I call home. I was born and raised just around the corner from the track itself. And my parents, British born, you know, we used to go to the races all the time when I was a kid. I'd spend my birthday afternoon. That's what I wanted to do, was go watch the horses compete. So, you know, to be able to have such success and, you know, and in my backyard, so to speak, has been really great to me. Horse racing as a whole has been really great to me, and to capitalize it in such a way for that, you know, to break this record in this way, it just, you know, it's almost like a storybook. You couldn't have wrote it any better.
Being Canadian means a lot to you, doesn't it?
It does. I wear my maple leaf with a lot of pride.
You talked about, I know that you were around nine when you first started maybe, you know, riding, but when did the love of being around a horse, when did that begin for you?
I don't know when the exact time was. For me, it was always there. Just always loved them, you know. Probably when I was itty bitty baby, you know, when you start learning about animals, there must have been a draw there for me, because it's just always been, you know, a part of my being.
There are a lot of young girls, and I know a few that would love probably to be the next Emma Jane Wilson, but they're very young, but they love the horses. What do you want to say to young potential, whether it be, you know, female, male, just young kids wanting to become a jockey, or maybe just be around the horses and love them?
Well, I mean, working with horses is unique in the sense that they are living creatures. They have a mind of their own, and making that connection and being, you know, aware of all the little things. You know, sometimes, you know, when we're on the back of a horse, we think like the horse. A tissue rolling across in front of them to a human's nothing. It might be absolutely terrifying to the horse that you're sitting on. So being aware and connecting with them in that sense, seeing things how they see is really important, all the way down to just the potential tissue that could hurt them. But you know, as an aspiring rider, as an aspiring, you know, competitor in the game, the way I look at it is one of the things is be accountable to yourself, be your biggest critic. We don't have high school equivalent. We don't have college equivalent. You know, you have to dive in and dive into the deep end and own it. And the only truly the only person that's it's going to matter to if you succeed is you. So if you are your biggest critic, you hold yourself accountable, you see what your strengths and what your weaknesses are and work on each and one of those, you know, making your strengths better and, you know, improving your weaknesses. That's what's going to get you to go far in this game.
You kind of touched upon it there. Being true to yourself is one of the mottos for Emma. How does that relate to the racetrack and in life?
I think it's just, you know, it's just being simplicity, you know, just simple. You look at each individual situation as it comes and take it for what it is. Jockeys, we live in the moment. You know, there'll be a split second decision inside, outside, you know, that you have to make, and you have to own it, and you have to take that decision with confidence. That's, you know, kind of how I live my life. And if that race finishes and I look back and I go, oh, maybe that could have been a different decision, might have been better off in that regard. You know, I'm not afraid to say that either. Accountability is massive as well. So, you know, yes, it may be in the moment, and yes, you make that decision given all the information that you have at the time. And yeah, maybe after is not necessarily the right decision, or maybe it, you know, made you look like a genius. So, you know, in taking that moment to look back and reflect and be sure as well, you know, that's kind of how I live my life.
Take us into the stable a little bit. First time starter, Perfect Lady B in your record breaking run. How does a jockey and a horse develop a relationship? And how long were you two together to be able to win that race?
That's a good question, actually. That filly in particular, I had, I believe I breezed her a couple of times when I went down to Florida this past winter. So I got to know her a little bit. Mr. Atfield and I have a very strong working relationship. I get on a lot of different horses for him at different times. But leading up to her race, I had breezed her quite a few times, done some morning work with her, even some gate work with her. And, she was unique in the sense that we weren't actually sure if she was going to, you know, compete at her highest on the synthetic track. That track, that race was actually scheduled originally for the EP Taylor Turf course. We had a significant amount of rain, and Roger and I had briefly chatted in the morning, and he had thought about scratching, wasn't sure whether he was going to run or not. And, but he made the right choice in that sense. Perfect Lady B's family, her breeding and her ability really came through for me that day, and for Roger and Mr. Hipke. So it was really nice to see her, you know, put everything together that we'd been teaching her over, you know, the months that is, you know, training these racehorses to be competitors, to be athletes.
You mentioned rain could obviously alter what track you're running, or if it's raining and you're on that track. Those goggles, how do you even deal with that? I mean, you can't even see where you're going, and yet you have to stay true to your form, true to your horse. Take us into a very muddy race. What's going through your mind?
It's funny you ask about a muddy race and the goggles, because it legitimately is one of the things that, you know, with dirt racing, that young aspiring riders, young apprentices are like, how do I do this? It's just something that you don't deal with. I've ridden races on the dirt sloppy track in the past. You know, you're wearing 6, 7, 8 pairs of goggles. So there's a bit of skill involved in how you stack them and how you can make them so you can peel them down. And, you know, once you get to that point, I've been in races where I've gone through a few too many goggles early, and you're like, this is pretty bad. So you'll even have a chance, you pull it halfway down, and so you're double the longevity of each goggle. So
take us back to the moment where Emma said, I can really do this. I could be a successful jockey. When was that?
successful. I'm not sure. This, I came, I had a 3-day stint in between a 2-year college program. And I was terrible. I galloped some racehorses. I think I got on about 10 of them for, you know, over a few days. And I was not prepared. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't aware of the way things were done. And I say I got run off with every single one, except for the first one I was on, because I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be going as fast as I was. But that time gave me, you know, it lit the fire. And it made it real. It made it that this was an opportunity that I needed to be better prepared. And I knew what I needed to do to be, you know, to come back to this stage, but I could do it. And I wanted to give 100% focus. So I went back to school. I finished my year of school and I came up with a plan. I went where the horses went. I started at a breeding farm with the intent to go to a training center, then onto the track and then become a jockey. And in essence, that's what I did. So, It was the time when I remember walking up on the back of a racehorse for the first time. And Woodbine, when you go from the backstretch onto the track, you can't see the grandstand because of the E.P. Taylor turf course. And you go through a tunnel and up a hill. And as I came up that hill and I looked up and saw the grandstand, I was on the backstretch. And I've been sitting in that grandstand, you know, as a fan for so long. I was just, I think you would have had to close my mouth because I was just in awe.
What's amazing as we talk about breaking records, everybody sees Emma Jane Wilson right now. You're still young. There is much more racing ahead for you. So how about some goals for yourself? You've had many firsts, but how about some more goals?
Well, there's quite a few firsts. There's a few seconds. I mean, I ran second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf back in 2010. So I'd love to get a Breeders' Cup under my belt. That would be lovely. But really to tick off a whole bunch of races that, you know, that internationally there are races throughout the world that I would love to ride. I would love to be successful in as well. But really what it boils down to for me is again, the horse. And it's about being on fast, honest, competitive horses. And if I can be around them, wherever they take me, I'm grateful.
Another thing that you and Julie Crone have in common, the word female jockey really doesn't apply. It's just being a jockey, right?
Yeah, it does. And it really, that's, you don't say that's a boy jockey. You know, it is significant in the sense that women were not even allowed on the backstretch, you know, say 40, 50 years ago. And now we are seen as equals. Julie, her success and what she was able to do paved the way for my success, among others as well. So, you know, this is just the equality speaking through in the game. This is horse racing. The horses are the competitors. We're partners with them. So it doesn't matter, you know, man or woman, whether you're successful or not. It's about who's, you know, it's just about the jockey themselves.
That being said, you're still a role model to so many young women. And I know that you enjoy being a mentor.
Well, absolutely. And that's where significant milestones such as this are important to acknowledge, because it also gives us a chance to reflect back on what we used to do, where we've come from, and to showcase and be able to show everybody, not just young girls or even, you know, older ladies. It's even the young men and women and, you know, old and young, what people are capable of regardless of their gender.
I have to tell you a funny story, because while I love horse racing, and as you can see by the memorabilia behind me and the hats and the pictures, I'm not real intelligent when it comes to knowing everything. So my home track has always been Monmouth Racetrack, you know, in New Jersey. So when I first went to Churchill Downs, and everybody was looking to me in this group, we were a bunch of news directors, you know, how do you bet? And I handled all that. But when it came to the final poll, I had it wrong, because I was thinking of Monmouth and there was still another part of the track to go to win. So I was telling people, you just won. Meanwhile, things came up on the board and it was like, that's not what I just saw. I didn't even know where the finish was at Churchill Downs. Just love racetracks though. The excitement, it's such a family friendly. If you don't want to bet, you don't have to bet, right? You just go and enjoy, watch these beautiful horses, watch the trainers, watch, you know, everything that you do. If you've never been to a race You have to go, right, Emma?
Absolutely. If I could bring people along with me to experience what I experience on a daily basis, the connection, the power, these are, you know, 1,000, 1,200-pound animals of sheer muscle, and the focus and determination that they, you know, ebb out around them is just unbelievable. And anyone that wants to just come, like you said, you don't have to be a handicapper, you don't have to be a better, you can just come and watch and be a fan. And if you can get up on that railing, doesn't matter whether it's a Woodbine or a Monmouth, you know, you get on that fence there and you watch these horses as they walk by and you listen to them breathing and you feel the power that is just being emanated from them is unbelievable.
Roger Atfield and yourself, when you see a horse, you feel a horse, you get on a horse, do you have that sense that right away this is a winner, or does it take the training? Is there ever that innate sense that, you know, I've been doing this for so long, this horse is going to be something special?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of them just seem to know what the game is, and they exude, you know, that professionalism and that awareness of the situation more than others. But I've also been on horses, you know, the first time, and they haven't really shown me that they have that, but it's there, and they develop and they learn. And we, as the trainers and the jockeys and the exercise riders, you know, we teach them what they're being asked. So to see them go from, you know, sort of just a kid that doesn't know any better to develop into an athlete, that's part of the funnest aspect of the game as well. It's really, really interesting to watch.
They say people who love animals are good people. You not only love horses, but you love birds of prey.
Birds of prey have always been something that, you know, when I was a kid, I'd draw horses, I would draw raptors as well. You know, they were just fascinating to me. And if I had the time now, I would absolutely be involved in falconry. It's something that I read about and I watch all the time. And, you know, I like to get as close as I can whenever I can. That being said, my priorities right now is, you know, are breaking records and winning races, as well as, you know, we have 7-year-old twins, my wife and I, that, you know, they take up every iota of other spare time that I have. So it wouldn't be fair to a bird of prey for me to take on right now. But, I watch from afar. I'm a fan. And one of the coolest things that I've ever noticed, you know, you look at a racehorse, you look at a horse, and they take that moment and they you look into their eye and they're there. There's that connection that you, when you make eye contact with them, and it's wholehearted. And I find when you look at a bird of prey, an animal designed to be fast and furious and, you know, hunt and be successful, they look through you when you look into their eye, because you're just a tool to them, whereas everything else is whether they can eat it or not. So, you know, it's such a contrast between the animals that I love so much.
That's a great way to look at it. I know your kids like soccer, but are this love of animals, has that been passed along to them, I would imagine?
It has. We have way too many pets. We currently have 3 whippets that are in their crates, as well as we have a tortoise and a couple of rats, or as my wife likes to call them, small mice. And we'd have more creatures in our home, and we're always willing to take on anybody that's hurt or injured. Sometimes it's a bit much, but you know, we have to do right by them. And, you know, they absolutely love animals, and I can see them having more animals in their future as long as I can. Otherwise I'll have to keep it narrowed down a little.
Maybe because I've been watching House of the Dragon recently, that I see Emma Jane Wilson in a role of somebody aboard a horse, and then here comes the falcon on, you know, on your shoulder, and you're as comfortable as can be as compared to many other actors.
Oh, I'd love to be there. And oh, if dragons were real, we'd be in real trouble, because I'd have one at home.
I know the dragons in this series, they've just captured my attention so much. When it comes to all the accolades that you have received now, and I know some of the races are more important to you than others, can you say this race was the most important, or do we go all the way back to the plate?
It's tough, because they each hold different significance. This race, you know, the fourth race on a Thursday afternoon, it holds a lot to me, because what it means in the bigger picture. But you can even rewind it all the way back to the Queen's Plate in 2007. That was a race. That's Canada's horse race. And I was successful enough to win that then. So I could argue so many races down the line that have meant so much to me. So I couldn't put one at the top of the list as the moment. I'm enjoying the career and I keep looking to build on it. So hopefully there'll be a, you know, an album that I can go back and look through and appreciating it, each and every single one of them.
When your record was posted on social media, I saw many people say, you know, I had the chance to meet you and so excited for you. Obviously you have fans all around the world. How important is it for you to when you see people to take on that role? You're a role model, but you're also a hero to many, and you're just Emma to people too.
Well, and you know, that's the important part of it is, yeah, I am just Emma, but I'm also been given this opportunity. I remember when I would come to Woodbine as a kid and you'd get the pair of goggles from the jock, or even just that connection, that moment of where they'd stop and look and smile at you, you know, or even give a high five. When I went to Saudi Arabia to ride one of the international jock challenges, the first Saudi Cup, you know, there were kids on the rail watching us, all the jocks and the horses going out. And there is a moment where I made eye contact with one little boy. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what is that possible what if factor that's being created just by me being here? So if me just being Emma Wilson, who loves the game, loves horses, goes out there and does what I love, can, you know, broaden one's base to create a dream, whether it be in horse racing or something bigger or something better, then so be it.
I've rarely had guests on the show that have made me look like I'm very tiny, but one was a rugby player. And I know that Emma Jane Wilson, you're not the tallest person in the world. You're a jockey, but you yeah. love rugby too.
I do. I would still play that now. I mean, with all my free time, I would still play rugby now if it wasn't for the risk of injury. I love the game. It's so much fun. And there is nothing like the feeling when you tackle someone and you get up and they're still down. Yeah, you're not trying to hurt anyone, obviously, but, you know, you're trying to win. So
that's why she is a tough competitor on the track. Stay out of her way and don't get on the rugby pitch with her at all. Just an amazing run you've had, but as I mentioned, it's going to continue and continue. So I wish you all the success in the world. And maybe the last question would be, you and Julie Cronow are forever going to be connected. Is there somebody else that's going to be the next Emma Jane Wilson to make it a trio?
Well, I guess time will only tell on that one.
So your next race is when?
Thursday. I ride a couple on Thursday and a few on Friday and leading into another weekend. So
any different feeling heading into that next race?
Different? No, it's the same focus. So, you know, each race one at a time, it's the same focus, but there's a level of appreciation that I've gotten from the support within the industry. You know, the people that have come to me and congratulated me and shook my hand, you know, the acknowledgement of the significance of what it means to me and what it means for the industry, that I'm really grateful for that. You know, that's meant a lot to me as well.
We appreciate you for all the work you've done, but we also appreciate you being here on Sports Jam. Continued success.
Cheers. Thank you very much for having me.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also check out Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out to Sammy Steinlight for hooking us up with Emma Jane Wilson. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.